Good morning and welcome to our meeting. It's 9 a.m. on December 30th, 2025, and time to convene a special meeting with the Snohomish County PUD Board of Commissioners. I'm Sid Logan, President of the Commission. Joining me today are Commissioner Tony Olson, our Vice President. Joining virtually is Commissioner Julieta Altamont Crosby, our Secretary, John Harlow, our CEO General Manager, Sarah DiVittorio, our Acting Chief Legal Officer, Allison Morrison, Clerk of the Board, Jenny Rich, Deputy Clerk of the Board, and Morgan Stolzner, Deputy Clerk. Please turn off or mute your cell phones or other electronic devices. First on our agenda is our consent agenda, item one, and A, discussion and approval of emergency declaration purchases of public works contracts. I'll call for a motion.
I move approval.
Are there any comments or questions from the commissioners? Consent agenda. Go ahead.
I have none.
Okay. There ain't none.
Were you here from Commissioner Crosby?
No. Commissioner Altamont Crosby, do you have any questions on the consent agenda?
No, I have none. Thank you.
Okay. Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed say nay.
Aye.
Motion passed unanimously. Next, I'll introduce Aaron Janesco, who will provide us a brief presentation. Morning, Aaron.
Morning, Commissioners. So Colin asked me to pull together a quick presentation based on the emergency declaration that you just approved here a minute ago. I believe there's a larger presentation coming in January from Corporate Communications, but we'll get into kind of what happened here 2 weeks ago on this event. All right, here we go. So the largest of our jobs out there, this picture to the right, we had four poles out off of Marine Drive in the Stanwood area, four transmission poles that came down, not to mention the distribution on there, a lot of damage, and I'll get to that here in a second. So first off,
can you go back to that slide? Sure. So I know that area, there's no trees there. Wow, the wind must have been incredibly strong.
So a couple things I was going to mention later, but good lead in. We do have a wind or a weather meter at our Twin City substation, and it actually clocked a 98 mile an hour gust. We're trying to verify the accuracy of that. Don't know for sure, but a couple of things on this particular job. The poles were all the same vintage, about 2007 timeframe, and had what we call bird diverters that we install in areas where like there's large flocks of snow geese or other birds for a visual, so they obviously don't fly into the power lines. Wondering if that contributed a little bit to almost acting like a kite or a sail. There was a little bit of ground rot in the poles, but not to this extent. So definitely a new one for us. But if you want to see trees, you're in luck, because
They're coming up. Surprising to see this where there aren't trees.
Yeah, there's a couple more pics that'll better show it as well as we get into it.
Thank you.
So first off, as we've been planning this year and coming off of our learnings from the bomb cyclone last year, with the prediction of this storm, not looking to be huge, but still a pretty good sized storm, which it turned out to be. Myself, along with Rob Weidler, Scott Parker, and Mark Owens, we teamed up for kind of a soft launch around incident command, working towards more formalizing that. And so this was a good test, and it worked really well. More importantly, though, I really want to highlight the teamwork and collaboration. We did good things in the beginning. We had our servicemen brought in with our riders. We had our crews pre-built, so we were ready to go, which was big. And then from there, it's all of our teams, the employees that just knocked it out of the park. And I missed even a couple on here. I forgot transportation and environmental. Transportation every day was sending out a list of all the things they were doing, including supporting our mutual aid folks. We'll talk about in a minute. And then with environmental, I think we had 15 oil spills on this storm in 4 days. So a lot going on with a lot of folks in the field. And as we touched on earlier, prior to the meeting starting, all of this happened without any injuries or vehicle accidents that I'm aware of. We'll get into some more data here in a second. Speaking of data, I Kept it real simple. There's a lot more we could share. I'm sure the CorpCom will do that the 6th. But just in terms of number of crew jobs, it's kind of one big indicator. It gives you an idea how much work that these folks got done in 4 days. Also, at the peak of the wind when it hit, I think it was Wednesday morning early at 1 a.m., you had a high of about 63,000 customers out of power. But through the 4 days and 428 crew jobs, we restored power to over 150,000. So it was a pretty good size event. Not a bomb cyclone, but it was still pretty good size. Please know. You can see the picture there. This was on Kamado Island. We had a couple of situations like this where there was just so many trees, we would take excavators in and just start throwing them around like pixie sticks just to get them out of the way.
We did that, or the county did.
We moved
We
off
had
the side yet.
one.
Yeah. So to get into next year, you can see we had a lot of support. We had 14 vegetation management crews, which we were teaming up line crews. And then we brought in 14 additional line crews from a list of public utilities across the state. Super appreciative of the mutual aid that we get. The first morning that this hit, pretty much the entire I-5 corridor of public utilities was over half of their territory was out of power, and yet they were able to respond within 12 to 24 hours. So great response and great teamwork there as well.
Yeah, it's good that we are friends on the other side of the mountain. It looks like we have
Yep.
good representation.
Yep. We had, as you see, they're Benton,
Yeah.
Grant County, Okanagan. They're all great partners. And not just in mutual aid, it's day to day. Even just this morning, there's emails going around about a different subject, but we just all help each other out on a variety of topics. So it's great. Again, just another Kamado Island picture there. Lots of damage out there. So this was part of that Marine Drive job we talked about earlier. When the two crews were assigned to the job, we knew there was just a ton of damage, so we actually had them drive out there ahead of time, get a view of the damage, get a plan together, and figure out materials because there's a lot going on here. And so they were out there prior to this, got their head wrapped around the job, went back, loaded materials, got a plan together. When they returned, this is what they returned to, was this vehicle. So don't know what happened. That's the story that I got.
I'm open. Oh.
I don't know.
It was dark. I had gone out not too long after this had happened. It was dark, wires down, but the police had actually put tape and barricades on both ends of this. And this person drove around that tape and those barricades. Again, it was dark, but had to be going at a pretty good clip. To get himself up and over that.
Yeah.
Your crew had had fun pulling the car. They got to use their digger to pull the car off the pole. Some pieces were flying, and the gentleman came back to the crew and said, "Hey, can I come back later to get my stuff out of the car? I've got my pickleball stuff, and I've got a pickleball game later tomorrow afternoon."
I assume that was my question this way. He was here.
No, he was not hurt. Yeah.
No, his car looks like that, and he's playing pickleball.
Yeah, a lot of work on that job. Storm, we had a lot of large jobs, like most. One near John's house, another two transmission poles with underbuild as well. And again, just more pictures. A lot of this presentation was actually put together. Rochelle and our office threw it together to we wanted to share with our crews the Monday that we returned,
Good job.
just to say thank you, and everyone gets to see everything that everyone was working on. Again, just lots of damage. Was up in Darrington. There was a fair amount up there as well. Some of it was cross country or walk in, which, by the way, we're also looking into doing some undergrounding, John. You'll be happy to hear, for a couple of our larger customers up there. Again, just a lot of trees.
I have a question that I should know the answer to.
Sure.
What, looking at the wires and some of these, how those wires are down, but how much really needs to be restrung, because that would pull the tension. I mean, let's say you've got half a mile of wire down, and do you have to go out another on each side of it to ensure that those are in their proper place?
Yeah, they'll go back and inspect a line at least a few spans down on either side to make sure it's clipped in and the integrity of those poles are where they need to be. And then they resag that once they get the wire back up.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Yep.
And if there's kinks in the wire, they'll cut that out and put a splice in.
Oh, okay.
For good integrity, yeah. This was kind of a cool picture. The bucket truck broke down on a crew in Arlington, and so climbed up the pole, and just with the lighting, it was kind of a neat pick. So they were able to close in on those cutouts and energize that line and get folks back in. So, you know, proud of the guys for getting after that rather than just wait around for a mechanic. That's up there on the pole there.
Did the pole still have those?
No.
You're kidding.
No, that's what they do.
I didn't know they climb poles.
Our linemen?
I thought that they had those little steel things.
Not for the past 40, 50 years. No, I just...
Wow.
Oh, thank you.
But the thing is, they train the bucket because they normally use bucket, right?
I mean, yeah, they'll use the bucket.
At least we have the bucket truck, so yeah. I assumed that they all went up in the bucket.
Yeah, they'll use a bucket when it's bucket accessible, but it's not unusual for apprentices and or when you need more folks up there, then you can get the buckets too, yeah. Or at different places on the pole that they'll climb. Yeah, and they climb fairly often. And
it's a in their boots.
Yeah, they have gas.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'll go off this topic.
No, I think it's a opportunity for a
demonstration.
Yeah, demonstration.
I think it's safety day.
Yes.
The traditioners all learn how to climb poles.
No.
I mean, that's when the guy going.
Yeah, my one wrong.
Yeah, we have the, yes. You'd be good.
Well, there's a pole climbing event at this thing.
Yeah.
It wasn't participatory, but.
Or if you have an event at the microgrid, we have our line training group where we've got a lot of poles set up, and we do climbing school. There's a couple, which is pretty cool. There's for our apprentices, when they finish climbing school, they have to the top. I think it's a 100 footer. It's pretty high up. You have to get up there and sign your initials on the cross arm and climb back down.
Oh, I think I saw somebody practicing
that. So they just climb the pole here.
They do that with all their heavy stuff. Carrying how many pounds?
That is a great picture.
Okay.
Yep. So that picture there, if you look closely, he's got what we call a shotgun in his hand, and he's just getting ready to close that fuse on the very right side of the cross arm. So anyway.
And it is actually safer climbing with the gaffs and the equipment they have than the steel steps. Or spikes it.
Oh, I'm sure it is, but I still think I have one of those in my neighborhood.
Oh, there's still some out there. Yeah.
There's a few.
Yep. Just joking with you on how long we've been climbing without those.
For the steel.
Oh, I got it, though.
For the steel poles, we get magnets and they climb. Getting.
We should invent that. Okay, you got me off. I apologize.
No problem. And then we flew the social media. Just a lot of positive comments out there from our customers, and just to share with our folks.
Yeah, the social media was phenomenal. Oh,
yeah, it was very positive.
The public is appreciative. Agencies are appreciative.
Yep.
Cities are appreciative.
Yeah, 100%. Get through this one here. I think the next slide, another really cool thing. We had a lot of customers and Domino's Pizza donating pizza and delivering out to folks, and just very supportive in the community. So it was good to see. So yeah, there's one of our general foremen with, yeah, they delivered a whole bunch of pizza to door folks. So that's really just a quick overview.
Questions, commissioners, comments? John, we'll let you get something on the
Yeah, I was just gonna, and I think Aaron had mentioned this before, but just a huge kudos. I know Scott had led this, and Lindley Latham also was a key part of the bomb cyclone last year. We took a little different approach to the after action and did a much more thorough, comprehensive after action. And one of the really big pluses with this last storm is we had deployed a number of those key action items that came out of that, from standing up the command center and having a more formalized structure from an incident command perspective, to how we handled ETRs, how we communicated with the public, how we just a number of different things. And it really paid off. You could see the difference in the coordination, the communication, and folks knowing and better understanding roles and responsibilities. So just a huge kudos to Scott and to Lindley and the entire team that were engaged with that and then followed through to make sure that those were in place and ready to go. Still lessons learned, there always will be, and we'll do another after action to see how those types of actions helped us and what other additional actions or how we can embellish on those to continue to just improve our storm response. But a huge kudos to those that were involved in that and then actually making sure that things were deployed and seeing that stuff through. So,
well, and you're deploying a lot of crews that
yep.
are not, probably not that familiar with our system, and that's going to be a whole lot of fun.
That's a whole another element, yes. A lot of your smaller utilities don't have an energy control center. They don't deal with that interaction back and forth over the radio. They just go out, tag the pole, and go to work. Then when you come here, where we've got loops every which way, it's a whole nother element. And it's intimidating, but we got good folks in place to help support them, and it went well. And I do want to highlight, as John said, Lindley is here. Her new role is actually is storm coordinator. I promised her she wouldn't have to get up here and speak, but maybe next year. Storm. This was baby step, got her in the room.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
And needed. That's a good position. That's a new position, right?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Smart, smart.
Yep.
So I think we talked about when we debriefed on the bomb cyclone, when we have mutual aid crews, we staff them also, don't we? Don't we? So that we have someone who can help them navigate.
Yeah, we call them
in our system.
Yeah, we call them crew guides.
Okay.
Other utilities call them bird dogs. But yeah, we assign two folks. Usually, we usually assign what we call a lead. We go through a pretty thorough testing process. Late summer, early fall, establish that list of who's a lead and who's an assistant. And this is very organized. And that truly really was stood up by Tyler Reinitz and Andrew Flaherty. Done a really good job.
I do have.
Yes.
It's probably way too early, but have we been able to ballpark what the storm, well, there were a couple of them, weren't there?
Yeah.
It's going to cost. Is it too early? I don't want you to be throwing out numbers until you're more sure.
We do have a ballpark.
Maybe with our next presentation.
Yeah, we'll get you a better number, or I'll make sure I have a more accurate number than what's circulating in my brain. We know what our labor was. Pretty much, but we're not sure about the mutual aid costs and some of the other costs that may occur.
Will that come out of this year's budget?
Mm-mm.
Oh
no, well
it was
it will incurred. Be yes, it will be incurred. It will be attached to the 25 budget, yes, because the costs were incurred in 25. We use accrual account.
I'm always nervous about storm costs.
Well, and
they really got up
during the storm. I was reflecting on your concerns when we decided to drop the rate increase from 3% to 2.5%, because that was your specific concern about storm season. So, whether it's in the 25 budget or 26 budget, still,
It's still a cost.
It's still a cost. It hits our challenge to make our fund balance target.
Yeah, and
I
in an
appreciate
era where
your
we're
comment.
not sure we're
It
getting
happened.
help from FEMA.
Yeah, we don't really know.
From a cash perspective, at least half of the car cost will actually hit 26.
That's when you.
And that's, you know, when we think about days cash on hand and our reserves, and that's one of our key financial metrics, that will be impacted in 26. But, and I think we had teed this up to the commission within the last couple months. We are entertaining and we'll be bringing a package to you all considering one of our reserves to actually have it kind of manage the storm costs rather than in a single year, but over multi-years, and how we finish that, how we use that for storm budgets. But we'll be bringing that whole to you first party here.
So I had a thought. I contacted Allison a couple weeks ago. I wanted to hear what you and John and my fellow commissioners were thinking. But you know, we've got all these other publics that are helping us out mutually. Sometimes we hear from them when we help them. And I was just wondering if it would be worthwhile. It seemed nice if there was something that, whether it's a letter or a card or something, that you know the three of us would sign after one of these storms and send to their general manager, or their commissioner, or something like that.
It was actually done a number of years ago and then it was stopped. And I mean, that I think since the early 2000s.
So
I know the.
we do that after each storm.
Yeah.
And ironically, I just sent Erin an
Those are
email
more
this morning, but we would love to have you all sign on that.
And this is Commissioner Altamirano Crosby. I echo the comment, the Commissioner Logan. I think that could be wonderful if we do that. Thank you.
Yeah.
I support that as well.
Okay. Yeah. We'll
love
have
that.
to
Figure out whatever makes sense. But
I'll have them available on Tuesday.
okay.
Yeah, I like that idea of you all signing on those. Excellent.
And if may I also, I want to thank to every single one of the individuals and all the team that were there outside 24/7, try to manage all this storm and the middle day, the raining and expose themselves and really appreciate it. Thank you so much. And also, I would like to thank the Los Gavilanes Mexican store because they donate bread, atole, and also tamales. So thank you so much to everyone and the collaborations that support us during these hard times. Thank you.
Oh, that's great.
Any other questions or comments, commissioners?
I have none.
I have none.
Well, thank you. Great presentation.
We appreciate the support from the commission.
It is 9:23 and our meeting is now adjourned.